Did you know that humans have macroscopic arachnids found all over their face and the areolas? It's the only two places on your whole body that they're found.
Hello, I'm Nipper Reed.
And I'm Phil Wolf.
So, settle down, have a nice cup of tea, and enjoy the Venomous Exchange Radio Podcast.
Crumpets, Nipper. I want the crumpets.
Well, as you've been such an extraordinarily good boy.
We're into it. We're back. Back in the saddle again.
We are back. Folks, sorry that we've been away for such a long time. Do hope you've missed us. We've missed you.
We have.
All of you, every single one, even you, right in the back. We missed you.
Yep. You can put your hand down. It's fine. We know you're there.
Yes. It's been a busy, hectic, chaotic time for us for many, many reasons.
Oh, gosh, yes.
We've been traveling. We've been ill. We've been working. There's been a lot. We've even had some problems with the website. But everything is back on track now. Phil and I are back in your lives. You'll be pleased to know.
1,000%.
And we thought, as we haven't had a chance to communicate with you for a long time, we'd do a bit of a catch-up between ourselves so you can find out what's been going on, because it's been a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, Phil, the first thing that's been going on, I'm very pleased to say, I finished the European list.
You did. You stud champion of a man.
Oh, thank you. It's been a long time coming. It's a massive, massive relief. But I'm very pleased to say that myself and my lovely fiance traveled to Naxos in Greece, which is a beautiful island in the Cyclades. And I found my last species.
Excellent.
Yeah, so a very, very good trip.
How long did it take you to I don't want to say finish the list, but I mean, because obviously you were a herper before you decided to take on this endeavor.
Yeah, I would say from seriously considering wanting to finish, like do the whole list,
yeah,
to finishing has got to be, it's hard to pinpoint when you decide that you're going to go for everything.
A ballpark.
Ballpark, 10 years, I'd say, if you include COVID, not being able to travel for 18 right. months, right. and if you include me having cancer, which put me out for a year, I'd say between 10 and 12 years. Now, I think if you had unlimited funds and you didn't have to work, I reckon you could probably do it in 3 years. But unfortunately, I don't have unlimited funds and I do have to work. So, yeah, it's taken me some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's. I'm so relieved that it's done.
It's good, man. It's good. It's good for a couple different reasons. Well, I see it in your eye of the feeling of accomplishment, of achievement, that you did it. You genuinely did it.
Yeah.
But there's also that sigh of, oh, now I can go other places.
100%. Yeah. I don't have to plan my whole year around visiting different sites in Europe. Nothing wrong with that, but it is nice to now be totally free to herp anywhere in the world that I want, rather than having to keep battling and going back to Europe.
Yeah,
it's also really nice to be the first Englishman to ever do it, which is very cool.
It is. What was the hardest thing to find, and what was the easiest one to find?
Oh, that is that's an expansive question, because you've got to define hard.
Well, let's dive into that. I mean, let's do. What was the most difficult to actually find? What was the most difficult to map out and plan out achieving it? I mean, we have different aspects of this here.
Okay, so as in physically finding, but easy to get to, I would say probably the Italian Aesculapian snake.
Okay.
It's it's not massive densities, and it's quite a skittish snake, and it's quite a not fossorial, but it's not a snake that basks. It's a under bushes type snake.
It's a Mediterranean coach whip.
Yeah, exactly that. So that was tough, although getting to Italy is pence and super quick from where I live.
Sure.
That was hard, as you know, because I moaned about it on so many occasions. The blotch snake was infamous blotch snake was just a total pain in the rectum. Again, not difficult to get to Bulgaria, although long. It's a long flight to Bulgaria. But just the grind of so many trips to exactly the same sites, to the point where year after year you're recognizing the same rocks and refugia that you're turning over.
How many times did you go to Bulgaria just for the blotch snake?
Just for the blotch snake, probably only went four times.
Only four times.
Only four times.
Only four times.
But I've been to Bulgaria many times because there's other cool species there that I wanted to see.
Yeah, but we're not talking about an hour drive down the highway.
Oh, no, no, no.
Nature preserve, right?
We're talking about a 3.5-4 hour flight and then getting a hire car and driving for another couple of hours.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was – and the densities of those are so low, and it's such a cryptic species. So, yeah, that was – that was hard. In terms of rarity, there is a rock lizard, which I believe, I'm sure someone will correct me, but I believe is the rarest vertebrate in Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the Penedofrenca rock lizard.
Interesting.
It's only found in a tiny, tiny little mountain range, and the densities are super low. And I just thought there's going to be no chance. It's, you know, I know people that have had multiple trips there and never found it. You know, you're talking about finding a little 6-inch long brown lizard
right
on a cliff face, and it's super rare. And I did a trip there, and it's very weather dependent because the mountain ranges are at cloud level. So, you could have bright sunshine, and then within minutes you're in the cloud base and it's freezing cold.
Oh yeah.
And then there's no chance. So I did a trip, and we had, I think to memory, 3 days there, and we were literally just standing. And fortunately I went with a good friend of mine, Sean Cole, who's super top birder in the UK.
Nice.
And he just said, let's just scan it with binoculars rather than try and, so we literally stood with binoculars, just scanning the cliff faces. And then I found one. I saw one in a crack. It turned out to be very confined. And in the end, I could take a picture of it with my iPhone. That's how close we got.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But, yeah. But to see it, I mean, that's such an incredibly rare species for Europe. So that was good. Also, in terms of rarity and habitat, which I've mentioned before, was the Greek meadow viper.
Very cool.
Hideous habitat, super high temperatures, horrible slopes, lots of biting in, just rubbish, and super low density of animals. But yeah, to see that was a fabulous thing. I think they're probably the hardest. I mean, in terms of logistics to get there, the Pori wall lizard, you're not going to beat that because you have to fly to mainland Greece, then drive across mainland Greece, then get a ferry to an island, and then hire a fishing boat to take you to the little sea stack that's on.
I remember you told me about that.
Yeah. I mean, as I said before, the sea stack's the size of one or two American football pitches. It's a tiny little thing, like in the middle of the sea. And then you've got the logistics of trying to get off the boat onto that and climbing up the side of it. And then, so that was a pain. In terms of ease, the Skyros wall lizard was incredible. So Skyros is a very, very small island in Greece, and it has the largest species of wall lizard on it for some reason.
Okay.
So there's only one flight. There's one flight. So you have to fly to Athens, as you're more than familiar with now.
Very much so.
Yeah. So you have to fly to Athens, and then you get an island hopper prop plane to Skyros. Unfortunately, there's only one in per week. So one in, one out.
Week?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
So we thought, right, we're just going to take time to find it. So we planned what we was going to do. There's not that many. There's a few other species on the island. There's leopard snakes, which are cool, and there's grass snakes and stuff like that. There's some amphibians, but nothing that we hadn't seen before. But we thought we'll have a good go at finding this Skyros wall lizard for the week. And we touched down in the little prop plane. They put the little ladder down, and they was literally running around the ladder as we stepped off of it.
Wow.
So we had a week of sunbathing and swimming in the sea and doing things like that, which was nice.
That's good.
Yeah, that was definitely the easiest thing to see.
Nice.
But Naxos, mate, you need to get yourself out to Naxos. It is utterly, utterly beautiful. It's become, I'm really lucky, like yourself, you've seen the Greek islands. I'm a big, big fan of Herpin in Greece. I think it's a lovely, lovely area. You know, the people are super friendly. The food's great. The seas are really blue. It's just ideal to be there, whether you're Herping or not.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough to visit a lot of different Greek islands. But I think Naxos is definitely one of my top five Greek islands.
Nice. Just
beautiful. The seas were incredibly blue. And it's got such a lot of different species on there. Now, I've seen all the species by one before, but it was really nice to catch up with them, for want of a better word. So you've got Erhard's wall lizard, and the different phenotypes of that were incredible. If anyone wants to have a check out on my Instagram, and I couldn't stop taking pictures of them because they're all so different. It looks like you've got five or six species on the island. It's all the same species, just different.
Now, were they all in the same locality, or was it like different sides of the island yielded a different phenotype?
No, literally, the densities were incredible. At one point, we're looking, and it's a lot of sort of sandy olive groves with short vegetation, short sort of like juniper bushy type things,
thorn scrub type stuff
yeah. with dry stone walls built along. And we're looking along the dry stone walls, and without exaggeration, there must have been a lizard every meter. That's the kind of densities. But yeah, no, there was no rhyme or reason to it. It wasn't like one area of the island had one particular phenotype. In 20 meters, you'd see all five phenotypes. That's
crazy.
Incredible. And interspersed between the lizards on the walls was Cochise geckos, the bent-toed geckos.
Yeah.
Super prevalent, some really dark forms of those, which was good. Ali and I went to this lovely, really in the middle of the island, no habitation around, and it was a little tiny. At one point, it would have been a farm olive grove, but it had been left to ruin now.
Yeah.
And without exaggeration, the first rock I flipped, there was a sandbar underneath.
Nice.
And to see a boa in Europe is always incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Just flipping the rocks in this disused orchard, there was sandboas. Ali found I'm glad she found it, because I nearly stepped on it. I didn't see it at all. She found an Amadites viper that had just eaten and was out, just basking in the sun, trying to digest its meal.
That's fantastic.
So we had a good look around on that site, and it got really, really windy. And I said to her, I think we should call it and come back tomorrow because the lizard I was looking for was Lacerto citrifitata, which is the Cyclades green lizard.
Right.
And it's quite a big lizard. It's about your leopard lizard size. And it likes it really hot. So if the temperature drops, it's not like a wall lizard. We saw Erhard's wall lizards basking at 13 degrees, but you won't get that with these big green lizards. They like it really hot. So the temperature was dropping, and I said to Ali, let's call it and we'll come back tomorrow, first light. And we was sort of walking back down the trail, and there was a little bush with rocks poking out of it. And Ali went, let's just check in there.
Of course. She has that vibe, man.
Oh, she's a machine. She's like so, what's the word? Almost autistic.
Right.
But if you tell her that you're looking for something, she will not stop till you found it.
Meanwhile, she can't find her glasses because they're on top of her head.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Right.
So we looked. So it's like a big round bush, probably about as round as a tractor tire. But in the middle was a load of rocks. And basking in the middle of this rocks was a massive female Naxos, Cyclades green lizard.
Excellent. That was just
phenomenal. And then about 5 minutes later, I saw another one, which had turned out to be a male, run across, go under a bush. And I just sat for about 20 minutes. And then gradually it came back out the bush and I got some cracking photographs of it. So
excellent.
That was beautiful. It was my last species. We celebrated in excellent style in a nice Greek tavern. It was just idyllic. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Idyllic.
Excellent. Did you drink some raki?
I had Retsina.
Oh, good enough.
Which was disgusting.
Oh, no.
But the local beer brewed on Naxos was phenomenal.
You remember the name?
Oh, I could find it because I think I've got a photo of it. But it just, it's like a micro brewery just on Naxos.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely delicious.
That's great.
Like an IPA style.
Yeah, we literally, I probably had Mythos every single day.
Oh, I love it. You can't beat a Mythos.
Yeah, especially once once we told the guy, no, put a couple in the fridge for us. Yeah. And then that was every day.
Which takes us to your travels.
Yes. I, well, again, congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Genuinely, from the Herper heart, man. Like, congratulations.
And I will say,
yes,
on that point, what was so overwhelming to me is the number of messages on Instagram that I had from people I don't know but saw me on a couple of Herp forums say that I'd finished. And excellent. Just the kind comments and the support, it's just absolutely overwhelming. It's really lovely. I literally must have had somewhere in the region of 50 messages from random people.
Wow.
Just saying congratulations, well done. That's really
great.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Your travels.
Oh, geez. Well, I finally left my continent. I'd been to the Bahamas. I'd been to Alaska and I've been all over Canada, all over the continental United States, but I'd never left
the Bahamas not count as.
It's still North America.
Is it?
It's its own country, but it's North America.
Is it really? I'd have put that down as Caribbean.
I mean, yes, but it depends on where in the Caribbean you are.
Okay.
Because I mean, the Bahamas is literally off the coast of Florida.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'd never left the continent and I had a brand new fresh passport that clearly had never been stamped. And, Anna Marie and I were talking about going to Greece. Cause it'd been probably, she's from Greece, as some of you know, if some of our listeners know. And, it had been some years and her father lived there. And, unfortunately we was like, you know what, let's not go, let's save and wait and we'll do it later. And then she got a phone call that her father passed away.
Yeah.
So this was a Americans would say a shotgun flight. Within 2 days, I was across the Atlantic Ocean in Greece.
That's such a culture shock. That's
right. And I will say that it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I wish that it was not for the reasons that it was.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it would have been great to have done it with her dad and everything else. And I liked her dad, and her dad was a great guy, man. He really was. And he lived a very, very wonderful life, very, very eclectic, eccentric, much like us. And her family was fantastic. Her family, whom she'd not spoken to in a very long time, they welcomed me with open arms. They changed my name to Philippos.
Yeah, I like that.
And they said
that from evermore now.
Well, I appreciate that. At first I was like, this is kind of awkward. I was like, no, this is great. I'm going to lap this up. and they were just amazing. Her family's wonderful. Her aunt and uncle, whom we stayed with, her cousins, like just really great people, man. And, half of her family are Americans as well. So basically they were either American citizens and then moved to Greece because their family was Greek, or vice versa. They were Greek and then they went and lived in the United States for a long time and what have you. So lots and lots of English speakers. And again, just wonderful family and a wonderful experience, despite all of the hard times and the difficult things we had to do. And at no point was it ever a vacation at all. It was,
no.
It was a lot of work in paradise. I will say this though, it was absolutely amazing to go there with Anna Maria, because she speaks the lingo, because she's from there, because she does not have an accent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did not do anything touristy. Everything was as the locals do. Everything was as the natives do. And that was super cool, man. Very, very cool to go to a foreign country, a foreign land, a foreign culture, and not only be welcomed into it, fully immersed into it, but to not be treated or looked at as a tourist.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, granted, you go to the bodega to buy a couple soft drinks and some snacks or something, and the woman behind the counter, she may roll your eyes when I say good morning, you know, and I say good morning in Greek, you know, in my accent, my American accent. And she kind of rolls her eyes and she says, you know, €2 please, or €4 please, in English. And then Anna Maria says the same exact thing that I said, only in her accent, and everything changes. The bill changed, the prices of everything changed.
Yeah.
So like that was very cool. And yeah, her aunt says, you know, now that you're Filipos, your family seems like a very nice family, and your family's history is very, very nice, but none of that matters because you're Greek now. You're Greek. Ah. I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. So, so that was good. I don't know if it's a testament to the Fiat 500 or that the Fiat 500 is a huge piece of shit, because obviously I am not a svelte individual, but I hammered that Fiat going up and down those mountains. Just like, I mean, just putting it into third gear right out of the gate because you have to, right?
Yeah.
And then between me and Anna Maria and her uncle, the three of us in the car at once and just going up this, you know, 30 degree incline at elevation. I don't know if the Fiat 500 is just a piece of crap or if it's a rugged tank and I just put it through hell. So
I forget that you're Floridian. So anything over like 10 meters is high for you, isn't it? And then to go and actually see mountains.
No. So I've driven in the Appalachians. I've driven in the Rockies. Yeah. I've driven with you in West Texas and with you in Arizona. So like I'm used to mountains, you know, I'm used to steep stuff. Yeah. Dude, nothing like this. Nothing like this. Like when you were in Karpathos, did you ever go to Menetes?
Yes.
Okay. The first time I was like, in my brain, her uncle's driving his car. He had a bigger Mercedes, and we're driving, and I'm thinking to myself, man, these are all blind turns. I was like, he's got a honk or something. And then as soon as I thought that in my mind, he goes, meh, meh.
Yeah.
Because you just can't see anything. Everything's a blind turn. You have no idea what lunatic tourist from Belarus or wherever, Romania, whatever, is going to be barreling down, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
they're unpaved roads as well.
Oh yeah. Plenty of them. But you know, I can say with full-blooded confidence that I know that island like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, every single day was a drive from Arkasas to Pigadia through Menetes. Or and on the last day, we really didn't do anything touristy at all. But on the last day, before we flew back out to Athens, Anna Maria's like, hey, you know, I'd never been to the north end of the island. We should go. Let's just drive. Let's just do it like a loop. You know, it's not that big of an island. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And we drove all the way up to Olympos, and just seeing the villages in the clouds, and like,
yeah, you
know, like I've been at 14,000 feet in the Rockies. Like it's pretty, it's cool, it's alpine, but nothing compared to this. No. Nothing compared to being in the clouds, subalpine, in the Aegean. Just breathtaking. Like yeah. I'm actually at a loss of words. Like it changed me. It changed us. Like it changes you. Like it's incredible. And it makes me very happy that you've experienced it, because I know what it feels like, and you know what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm a little
emotional, a little rambly here, but
yeah.
It's a fantastic place, and I'm very, very grateful and happy that we did it and that I got to be immersed in it. And we will most definitely be going back. And, you know, she still has some loose ends to tie up and whatnot and paperwork to do and stuff. So probably won't make it back this year, but maybe next year, even if it's for just a week. But the time of year that I went was probably the hardest time to herp.
Oh, 100%. The temperatures were ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And I did what my mentor, Mr. Nipper Reed, told me to do, and that was find fresh water. I charted every single creek, river, stream, and puddle on that fucking island. All of them were dry.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder if it was the government choking it off to conserve for potable water.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think two of the quote unquote rivers, I'll, you know, air quotes right now with my fingers, rivers. I know that they were choked off for potable water. So, you know, we'd be driving down the road, going down the 25 degree decline of the mountain. And Anna Maria says, are those trees along a creek? And I'm like, that is a creek. Let's slow down and pull over. So we slow down, pull over, pull right up to the guardrail. She leans halfway out of the window of the car to look down and see if there's running water. Dry as a bone.
Yeah.
So like we didn't even flip those rocks. We just got back in the car.
I think probably October's the best time to herp.
Yeah. Yeah. Carpathos. Yeah. And which she had mentioned that, you know, when we do go back, we'll probably go back outside of summer just because, you know, that's holiday season and, you know, the Germans come in by the truckload and the Czech come in by the truckload to tourists and it's hot and there's not as much rain and blah, blah, blah. But I did get to see a couple things. I did get to see a Dodecanese thin-toed gecko, which was super cool. I got to see the infamous Scolopendra that's on the island. That was kind of creepy and cool. And then I found a Dodecanese giant isopod, which I say giant, it was probably maybe an inch long at that, but for an isopod, it's freaking big. And it was literally on a rock, on a desert rocky cliff face that is a cut along the side of the road. So, but that was really it, man. We saw two Mediterranean falcons, but apparently they're very rare, and we went up seeing two of them.
I don't know what that could have been. Interesting. Could have been Eleonora's falcon, maybe.
Oh, I have no idea. Let's do some quick Googling. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Eleonora's falcon.
Yes, I'm a closet birder all day long.
You really are a closet birder. So yeah, that's got to be it. Yep, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we saw two of those. Could not get a picture because of how fast they are, and one of them had a snake.
Oh no.
So and we it was either snake or it was some kind of carrion from something, because it was just kind of like a strip of flesh or leather or whatever you want to call it. I did find one snake that was sun-kissed into beef jerky on the road, and that was Natrix. So that was interesting to see. And then Anna Maria's uncle showed me in his garden, they keep outdoor cats. Everyone's got outdoor cats. One of the cats found a Natrix, which, to be honest, it may have been the same snake that I found waffled, just because the size was about right. The coloration was about right. It was probably the same snake, but the cats like didn't try to kill it. I mean, they kind of batted it a little bit and played with it a little bit, but he did a video of the cat like hanging out with the snake, and the snake had come to the cat's water bowl to get water because it was just that dry. And that was, I guess, a month or two before we got there. So like I said, it was a hard time to herp, but I definitely have to go back. I have to find the salamander, I have to find the scorpion.
You've got to find the salamander, you've got to find the scorpion, you've got to find the frog.
Oh, the frog. That's right. The frog. Which, by the way, I found out the frog is officially like endangered species protected. Yeah. Like
it's only found on Carpathos and in Rhodes.
And her uncle told me if anybody asks you like what you're doing, because obviously I was hiking the side of the road up the cliffs and stuff. He's like, you know, you can tell them that you're taking pictures of snakes, but don't mention the frog. Don't mention the frog. I said, okay. So, but where we were is not even remotely where the frogs are. So
no. Well, I should definitely fly out and meet you next time you go.
Oh, 1,000%. What we'd like to do is I'd like to do another trip where we go into Karpathos and do a day or two there and then do one or two other islands.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you're not too far from Milos. Go and see the Milos Viper.
Yeah, I think Milos and Naxos would probably be the two.
Yeah, that'd be ideal.
Yeah, and then maybe Rhodes if we can't do one of the other ones, just because the transport between Carpathos and Rhodes is so frequent.
Yeah, Rhodes is a great island. Herc. It's got a ton of species.
But it was a hell of an adventure, and I've become enamored with Greece and Greek culture and Greek herpetofauna, and it's absolutely amazing. It really is. I'm glad that could be the thing to, for lack of a better synonym, pop my cherry.
No, I think it's awesome. A little bit of Euro travel. What a great place to start.
Yeah, 1,000%.
That's cool. So you came back from Karpathos.
Yes.
The same day that I flew to America.
Yes.
For the trip. Yeah, I mean, I know you was supposed to be on that trip, but obviously
I was gonna drive up the Thursday before you landed. You landed on Saturday, right?
I landed on Saturday morning.
Okay, so I was gonna drive up the Thursday, stay with Smitty in South Carolina overnight, just to have a base camp and to hang out and see him and his family.
Yeah.
And then finish the drive up to Philadelphia, pick you up from the airport, and then rendezvous with Rob Stone in the Pine Barrens before everyone else landed in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Obviously, that did not happen because I went to Greece instead. But let's hear it. How was Philly?
Philly was amazing, honestly. Excellent. It was always going to be good because it was a Rob Stone trip.
Yeah, of course.
Goodness comes as standard with those. Yeah. But it was completely not what I expected. I've got to be honest. I had a sort of image in my head what I thought Philadelphia was going to be.
Not at all what you thought.
Not at all what I thought.
It's not at all.
It was like herping England.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was the vegetation, the type of herping, everything was like European, UK, France herping. It was
absolutely.
It wasn't even that hot. It was
really.
It was very, very similar.
Excellent.
Most things were found by flipping. It was like Euro herping. So the first snake I found, we went on the first day. They'd already been out herping because they landed super early. They landed about 5 o'clock in the morning and I didn't get there till lunchtime. So they'd already been out herping. And then we went to see... in the afternoon, they picked me up from the airport and we went to see a phenomenal collection of skinks and Rachodactylus and Legionus, stuff like that. Incredible collection. Very kind for
awesome
to be allowed to see that. And then we just sort of crashed that night because it had been a long day. I've been traveling for 24 hours. So fortunately, because Eric lives in PA, we didn't have to sort out accommodation or anything like that. We literally just crashed at Eric's house. I just felt so sorry for Eric's partner Dory, because she literally just opened her house and she had herpers sleeping all over it. So there was Justin Julander, Rob Stone, myself, Robert, and one of his sons. And Eric, we just like descended on the house, covered in shit, and just went to sleep. So she was an absolute star, looked after us really, really well. Nice. The next day, we got up, we started herping. One of the first places we went was an operational railway line, but the sides of it, really, really good habitat.
Nice. Was that like the railway lines down here, they use like pumice stone and rock?
Exactly like that. Okay, yeah. Okay. But the sides, so one side was quite slopy down to a small stream. The other side was like a sunny hillside into woodland. So it was really nice habitat. Owen was there as well. Owen found a beautiful gart snake within minutes of us getting out of the car, which was digesting, we think, some huge frog. Because it had just a massive bulge in it. And then shortly later, I flipped a really nice big flat rock. You know when you see a rock and you just know there's going to be something underneath it?
You just know. There's just something about it.
Oh, 100%. It was like a pancake of a rock. I just thought there's going to be something. I flipped it, and I found my first milk snake. And for me, that's really, it's Eastern milk. And for me, that's, you know, as you know, I keep kings and milks. For me to see, that's my first milk snake in the wild. And I know to all the Americans, it's like, we see them every day.
I've never found one.
But for me, for England, to flip a rock and actually see a milk snake underneath it was insane. So that was really, really good.
That's great, man. Did you smuggle it home?
I can't answer that question. No, I would have liked to, but it was a cracking one. It's on my Instagram if anybody wants to.
By the way, not to cut into your story, but I completely forgot to tell you, I thought about the whole put the scorpions in the sock thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess like 4 or 5 months ago, somebody in the United States tried to smuggle Carpathos scorpions.
Oh, really?
They put one in the toe of each sock and stuffed them in their boots and were like, oh, I don't know how they got there. They must have just been in my work boots that were outside. And they were like, no, you're a smuggler. And he got locked up.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm
glad you didn't do that then.
I'm glad I didn't do that. Well, we didn't fucking find the thing. But anyway, please continue.
send them through the post. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then we took a big drive after that.
You guys headed west, right?
Yeah, we went as far into PA as you can.
Okay.
So I can't remember. I think it was about a 5-hour drive, 6-hour drive. Yeah, sounds about right. It was a long old drive.
Yeah, out by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and we went to a beautiful area of reclaimed prairie. Now,
oh, excellent.
In my head, as an English person, when I hear prairie, I think of somewhere really, really dry and dusty. But that's not what they call prairie.
You think like Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking like Kansas and, you know, Wizard of Oz, just like open savanna.
Exactly that.
Right, but not in the East Coast. In the
That's not what they call prairie.
You would refer to it as a large glade.
Yeah.
A glen.
It was like a meadow.
The meadow, yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a very like large meadow.
So it's like really, really damp.
Yeah.
You know, like the water table is inches below the ground, if that. Yeah.
Did you get to see it early morning when the sun was rising?
Well, we got the first time we went down there, and we got there quite late in the evening, so we only had about an hour of sunlight.
Okay.
So this place is a protected area for Massasaugas,
right?
The eastern Massasauga, which was one of our big targets. It's super, super protected there. You've got paths that run through this reclaimed habitat. You are not allowed to step off the path.
Really?
It's like they're really, you know, it's such a protected species, and the habitat is also protected, for want of a better word.
Right.
So we were reasonably good about sticking to the paths. Robert was there with his son. They are feral. I'm sorry if you're listening, Rob, but I love them. Your kids are feral. They're brilliant. They literally did not care how dirty they got. They was just like bang in the undergrowth, grubbing around. And we was there a little while, and they found dusky salamanders in a small, like a tiny, I won't even call it a pond. It was probably a couple of feet across.
Mm-hmm. But a vernal pool.
A pool is a better word.
Vernal pool, yes.
They found some dusky salamanders, which made, you know, no one else was interested. That absolutely.
Oh, I think that's incredible. That's so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely made my day. But was looking around, and although the habitat was spot on for Massasauga, I think it was too late in the day. We didn't see anything. So we went to our accommodation. And then we came back the next day, reasonably early in the morning, and we're all walking around, and there was a park ranger patrolling.
Okay.
So we thought, oh shit, we're not gonna,
yeah,
you know, because the paths go through certain areas, but you can see the best habitat is not close to the paths, for want of a better word.
Sure.
So everybody else is sort of like bomb burst away from the ranger and all that lot, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go. So I went up to the ranger, and excellent, in my best Cary Grant English,
of course,
said, "Hello, I'm from England." And he was just charming.
So where do you keep your Massasaugas, sir?
I understand. There's some Massasaugas here.
I'm looking for the snake with a rattle on its tail.
Yeah,
small chap.
So I just thought, and a big shout out, Will, if you're listening, I cannot appreciate, I just appreciate so much how kind you was to us. As soon as awesome. He knew that I'd come from England just to see a snake that he's looking after, he could not have been more helpful. Awesome. So he immediately, I explained to everybody was that I was with, and he just said, oh, don't bother sticking to the paths. He said, go through here. There's like a closed off path that runs through really good habitat. Have a look there. He said, if you don't have any joy there, I'm doing a search and capture program with a load of students later on in the day, because we've got to find some Massasaugas and pit tag them.
Excellent. So
we had a look. We saw some lovely frogs, wood frogs, really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Rick, talk about divergent evolution. The wood frog fits the same niche as the agile frog in Europe.
Oh, I believe it.
They look identical. Yeah. That could have been an agile frog that I was looking at. And there's some pictures on my Instagram. And then loads of students turned up, absolutely charming with their lecturer at that age. I would think it's a lecturer, not a teacher. And then they formed a line like they was doing a
search and rescue.
Exactly, yeah, that. They was like 2 foot apart. So we've been looking for hours, and then they literally went into this habitat in a straight line, and within less than 2 minutes, they're going, snake. But that was mostly Nerodia, we think. And they were flushing the snakes, which was quite frustrating, because like Owen and Justin and myself were like on the peripheries of these students going, stop flushing them.
Yeah.
Massasaugas, I believe, we were told, don't flush. They sit tight, whereas everything else will flush. So we're there. And then Justin sort of not lost his patience. That's too harsh. Justin thought, maybe my skill sets might be better served by walking the line. So he started walking the line as well. And again, within minutes, he found a beautiful adult female Massasauga just basking. Wow. So Will, the ranger, caught it, bagged it, and then we went to another area where it was photographed, measured, and then Justin helps the ranger, Will, pit tag it, and then we got to release it and take our photographs. It's just brilliant to see. Such a beautiful, beautiful snake. I just put a picture out yesterday, or maybe even this morning, on Instagram of it. Again, I've seen photographs of them, but in the flesh, different to what I thought. Much bigger than I thought, much chunkier than I thought.
Yeah.
Really, really blunt head, like a bulldog of a head, not like the nice, normal rattlesnake-shaped head.
You were imagining more of a pygmy body structure.
Exactly that.
With like prairie rattler patterning, viridis rattler patterning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly that. No, it's not. It's really different.
Yeah.
But a fabulous thing to see. So that was good. Robert found me red striped salamander.
Excellent. I was going to ask about that. Yeah. That is the quintessential Northeast Philly salamander.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful salamander. Love
that. That was my first salamander I ever found as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was absolutely stoked. Everyone else was like, meh, salamander. But I was just like, oh, this is
super cool.
Absolutely brilliant. So that was a really, really good day out. We then went looking for hellbenders. Now, we didn't find hellbenders. However, for me, as an Englishman that grew up on a council estate in a shitty part of London, to be standing waist deep in pristine water, flipping rocks and looking for hellbenders was incredible. It was just to be in an area where there was a chance that I could flip a rock and there was a hellbender underneath.
Just the area as a whole is just a spiritual area.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. You know,
those rivers that are crystal clear and every single stone is perfectly smooth and round. And
yeah. Just absolutely lovely. Now, just before I left for America, cleverly, I damaged my foot climbing quite badly.
Oh, jeez.
And as you said, in the rivers,
it's not a flat, muddy surface on the bottom. It's loads of different rocks of different sizes and shapes. And it was absolute agony trying to walk with the damaged foot over these. Totally worth it. We had a great time. Didn't find one, but it was phenomenally good. So that was that. Then later on in the week, we went to something which I will personally was probably the highlight of the trip for me, and something I will that memory I will have for the rest of my life, because it's something that I never thought I'd achieve. The chaps took me to a timber rattlesnake den.
Excellent.
So we drove up into the mountains, and again had to dodge some park rangers for a little bit, get in the way, spoiling everybody's fun, because this was another sort of protected area. You must stick to the path, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right.
As soon as we navigated around them and they'd left, we went through, so you're sort of going on a mountain ridge, heavily forested. So there's not a clear path you can walk. You're sort of jumping from big boulder to big boulder. But it's completely accessible. It's fine. And then there's an area, not very big, probably 20 feet by 20 feet, where the trees had fallen down. So the sunlight is coming down and hitting this big pile of rocks. And, okay. And the rocks are about, I don't know, 5 foot by 3 foot, just all piled on top of each other. And we're just walking along in this sunlit area. So you've gone from really nice cold shade, and you walk out and you can feel the heat straight away. The rocks are hot. And then Owen just looked over the top of the rock, and there was an absolute tank of a timber rattlesnake, super high yellow. It was just incredible. We think it was gravid because the sheer bulk of it.
I believe it.
And the way it was sort of basking in a crack between two rocks, but it just had coils, lower coils stuck out. And for me, it was just insane to see this. And then we kind of sat in this area, and then there was another timber rattlesnake, and then there was another timber rattlesnake. So if you just sat quietly in this pile of rocks,
they just emerged.
They weren't bothered by you. They weren't bothering us. They weren't bothered by us. And I just sat there, and the others had gone off because there's also dark phase timbers there as well. So melanistic. So they've gone off to look for them. And I'm just sat on my own, and there's rattlesnakes around, and it's just so quiet and peaceful. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing place. We found, Justin found a huge black rat snake, which was super confiding because I saw it and I just expected it to just disappear. And literally Justin walked up and just caught it. But I think actually Justin walked up to it and it started to slowly move. And I think Rob caught it. I can't remember which. But we was handling it for photographs. It didn't try and bite. It was just phenomenal. It was absolutely lovely specimen. It's got to be 5 foot, something like that. It was a big old snake. And then Justin went off on his own, and we heard a nice call. And when we got to him, he'd found an absolutely stunning black timber.
Oh, wow.
Oh, mate. It was velvety. It was very like the black rattlesnake we saw in Arizona.
Yeah, Cerberus.
It was lovely. Again, I posted a couple of pictures out on Instagram if anyone wants to have a look.
But yeah, I feel like those black Pennsylvania timbers, they remind me of a Kaznikovai, the black Kaznikovai.
Yeah.
Rich, black, heavily keeled, velvety.
Velvety is the thing. You don't want to touch it, but it looks velvety. It's a phenomenal snake.
Yeah.
And very confiding. Again, it just sat there. It wasn't bothered by us. For me, that was probably the high point of the trip. It just...
Excellent.
It's just lovely. We also went to New Jersey. So I've done a lot of American states now. It's good.
You have.
To get to New Jersey, we drove through Delaware. So right. I went to Delaware, which was small. But we went to the Pine Barrens. Again, you have an idea in your head what you think habitat is going to be like. And I thought the Pine Barrens was going to be like where we were in Florida.
No.
But in my head,
yeah.
I thought sand and longleaf pines, or right. it's going to be like Florida.
No, man.
Completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Just as a super, super hot day, we met the lovely Mike Curtin and Jason Balin, who are locals. It's like their patch. They showed us around, and just a phenomenal habitat. And again, Americans are going to be going, no. I flipped a railway sleeper and I found a ringneck snake.
Hell yeah.
You know? Hell yeah. And for me, it's like something that is the quintessential American flip. You see it on all the YouTube videos. Oh, I found thousands of these. I've wanted to see one for so long. And I know Eric gets them in his garden. Eric can literally flip a flagstone in his garden and find this
ringneck. Yeah.
But for me,
not the same, not in the Pine Barrens.
Exactly. For me to flip my own ringneck was fantastic. We've had some cool skinks, two species of skink. Can't remember what they were called. I think one of them's the five line skink.
Yeah.
It's got five lines and a blue tail.
Yep.
Really, really pretty skink.
Gorgeous skink.
Yeah. Fence lizards were really cool. Black racers, absolutely stunning.
Did you get one in hand?
Yeah.
Cool, good.
Yeah. Mike had this big, like, fedora-style hat, and he literally just put it over the snake, coiled up, chilled, got lovely photographs.
What that puts it at, what, 3 Mastacophas for you?
Yeah, I think it does.
I think 3, yeah. Because you get that pink one that Doc found on the cliff face.
Yeah.
And then that one funky-looking speckly one, right? And then you're black.
Yeah.
And then 4, because we found a black racer in Florida, didn't we?
Did we find a black racer?
No, because did we?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So
that's a different species, north and south.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. And then Justin and I, Mike and I went for a walk away from the main area. So cute. To find box turtles just wandering
around. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just love a box turtle. It's like,
oh, man. Especially New Jersey ones.
Yeah. Just look, the most stupid designed animal you've ever seen.
Just derpy, cute.
Yeah. Yep. Just fantastic. And we found another black rat snake down there. I took a photograph of a nice, beautiful frog. And I know Americans are going to go, oh, it's just a green frog. They're everywhere. But stunning. Have a look on the Instagram of that green frog.
Yep.
Just what a creature.
Excellent.
And you know what I'm like as well. The Pine Barrens are full of dragonflies. There was so many species of dragonfly there. That was phenomenal.
And you got most of them?
Shot
most of them?
Some of them. All new species for me. I'm doing quite well on American dragonflies.
You are.
Arizona, when we went to the Desert Museum.
Yeah.
Because that's like the only standing water for miles. I mean, I think to memory, there was like 12 species at the Arizona Museum.
Really?
And then Florida, there were some cracking dragonflies.
Yeah, I know you got at least 4 or 5 in Florida.
Yeah. And then this trip, there was a ton, especially later on when we went to the Poconos. Great stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really, really fun day out. And then we went also with Jason and Mike, we went to see diamondback terrapins.
Nice.
Which, phenomenally beautiful animal.
Oh, incredible.
And a really, really weird habitat. I know you get them in Florida, but these were literally on the seashore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were living in almost seawater. Well, they were swimming in seawater.
Yeah, but where you were was, I'm pretty sure, it's just straight salt water.
Yeah, but just the density of them was phenomenal.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the first time I saw one in the wild?
No.
So I was maybe 17 or 18 years old, and my older cousin and I had gone out drinking, you know, and we were down in Cape May, which is the farthest portion of New Jersey. And we were supposed to meet some friends, and they're like, oh, meet at the beach. And like, I guess we took a wrong turn or whatever. And we're driving through these cattails of swamp, you know, a marsh, as they say. And we come to a beach and it's the Atlantic Ocean. And we park the car and get out and walk on the sand. And all of a sudden, these dinner plates start running across the sand in the moonlight into the water. So they were basking on the beach in the moonlight. It was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, craziest thing I've ever seen.
Absolutely stunning, stunning species. Yeah. So we spent some time around the Pine Barrens, which is beautiful.
Did you see the New Jersey Devil?
What the fuck is that?
Oh, my. You never heard of the New Jersey Devil?
No, mate. No.
Is that your car?
Can't hear anything, right?
You didn't hear the car alarm?
No, man.
Dude, there was a car alarm just now.
Okay. I live in a little village. There's no crime here. You're the one that lives in...
It's not outside. It's a European car alarm. It wasn't American. Yeah, we don't have that kind of alarm here. It was like someone hit the panic button on their remote on accident. Oh,
possibly.
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 So you've never heard of the New Jersey Devil?
No, mate.
Well, there's several different versions of the folklore. Some of them say that it was a mutant child of Satan. Some people say it was a mutant child of a witch, and it was cast into the darkness of the Pine Barrens to live in exile, haunting and creeping all those poor defenseless little humans in the night. Ooh. You never heard of the New Jersey Devil?
No.
I'm
glad I hadn't.
It's a bat-winged, devilish creature that's cloven-hoofed and flies around the darkness of the Pine Barrens, picking up little children and goats and eating them.
Oh, that sounds rubbish.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I didn't meet that.
Yeah, people hear its screams when you're by yourself.
Oh.
And you're camping in the Pine Barrens.
Oh, don't like that.
Yeah, we used to go into Warren State Park and go camping specifically to, quote unquote, look for the devil.
Okay. Why just
being a bunch of dudes drunk going to sleep?
No, I did go out in the dark in the Pine Barrens, but we found what we were looking for, which was the Pine Barrens tree frog.
Hell yeah.
That was very cool to see.
Hell yeah. Which is very, very cool. Very cool.
It's a lovely species, very similar to the European common tree frog, but beautiful. Very nice. And the big target for the trip was the northern pine snake.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased to see, after Eric nearly destroying his car on some of the minute roads between trees and things like that, we actually found a northern pine snake crossing the path in front of us.
Hell yeah.
Which was very, very cool, because it was kind of getting to be Rob's nemesis and Eric's nemesis. Much like the blotch snake for me, they've tried a number of times over 5 years to find one.
Okay.
Just like to say I found one on my first trip, no pressure.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. But it was brilliant to see, and a phenomenal, really nice specimen, like really, really monochrome black and white. Very nice.
Yes, the pictures were phenomenal.
Thank you. Pictures again on my Instagram.
Yeah, Rob sent me a picture, I guess, like 10 minutes after. Like 10 minutes after you guys.
He was so pleased.
I'm literally holding the phone. I'm at work. And I was like, son of a bitch. And like my coworker's like, what happened? I'm like, they fucking found one. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Go back.
I just got to the corner to cry.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm going to go whip myself with snakeskin. I'm not worthy.
Yeah. No, it was great. We went to some other sort of Pine Barrens type. Forgive me if it's not Pine Barrens, but to me, it was like Pine Barrens areas.
Yeah, most of the areas down there are Pine Barrens.
And the others, I never got to see it because we were split into two groups. One group found a large female snapper laying eggs, which is cool. Very cool. And they found chain kings, which is...
I saw. That was awesome.
That was beautiful. Gutted I missed those, but you can't be everywhere. But we saw some lovely painted turtles and stuff like that. And nice. Again, more dragonflies. So that was a nice area.
Good.
So just generally a huge thank you to Mike, Jason and Robert for just being such great hosts in their sort of local patch. So really, really kind. I'd say Robert's kids, both of them, just feral but brilliant.
Yeah,
just literally jumping in the water, You know, literally have no concept of staying clean. They was just in undergrowth, in the ponds, whatever they wanted to. So we left there. We went to a place called the Poconos, which I'm sure you know about. Poconos was beautiful. But again, to me, like being in the Lake District in England, very, very similar in look and habitat. Really weird how England like it was.
I've only ever been to the Poconos in winter because it is a winter destination.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've actually never seen, like, I've only seen it with snow, you know?
Yeah. Well, of all the places we went, it was very mosquito heavy. But again, lovely little painted turtles, more ringneck snakes.
Cool.
Huge Nerodia. The species escapes me, but beautiful red Nerodia, but massive.
Nice.
Just lovely. And another high spot for me, a red eft. Eric flipped a red eft.
Hell yeah.
And that genuinely, I can remember as a child, like hundreds of years ago, buying a THF book.
Yep. Right on the cover.
With it on the cover and thinking, yes. What an incredible thing. I'm never going to see one of those.
The border of the book matched the same color as the F, yes, right?
Yep, exactly, yep, that. Yep. And then Eric flipped a log and just to see, it was just mind-blowing. And it's such a beauty. I mean, you know, I can't believe something as gorgeous as that turns into something as drab as the Eastern Newt.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see any newts while you were there or no?
I didn't see any newts.
Oh, wow.
But this red eft, just
killer.
Oh, incredible.
Absolutely. Perfect spots.
Oh, just lovely. Absolutely lovely. And then there was a, further on from there, there's a beautiful waterfall that had Nerodia in a wall and all that. Really, really cool.
Very cool.
So, yeah, the only thing, the only target for me, not for the others, the only target for me I didn't get to see, apart from the Hellbender, was copperheads.
Yeah, I thought you and Rob were going to go to that one spot that we talked about.
We went to that spot, which... Really? Was normally a nailed on spot, but there's a load of building work going on around it, and they've put all reptile netting around. So whether the copperheads can't get out of the water to their normal location, because they're doing like path regeneration and stuff like that, and they're building there. So I just think it was unfortunate. I mean, it looks like a cracking spot, and I've seen everyone's photographs from the same spot.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Yeah, that was kind of the end of the trip after that. It was lovely. We all went back to Eric's. We were going to go, there's a quarry not too far from where Owen lives, sort of between Eric and Owen. And Jennifer Sabatino, I hope I haven't crucified your name there, was super kind because she knew I wanted to see copperheads. And she said, look, go to this quarry. You know, I've got good reports for that. Yeah. She sent me a load of information, which was really kind. But unfortunately, the weather tanked and it just started raining and raining and raining after that. So we did the next best thing and we had kind of a undercover barbecue at Eric's to...
Nice.
To celebrate our trip.
Excellent, excellent.
Really, really cool.
And you got to see Keith, right?
I got to see Keith.
Good, good.
Keith and his lovely wife, Teresa, fabulous to meet them in person. I talked to them, obviously, but fabulous to meet them in person. Lovely people.
Stand-up individuals.
Keith's really big.
He's fucking huge.
He is.
Yeah.
He's
like Canadian hockey player.
Huge. He is. I don't even know if I can push him over. He's a proper lad.
I know, right? Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but no, it was lovely to meet everybody. That was very cool. Now, the only downside is when we was in New Jersey, I think, we got eaten alive by ticks. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It'll happen. Did Rob have like an episode?
No, Rob's like done immersion theory.
Oh, really?
Therapy or something. Rob was like, "Ah, fuck it, they're only ticks. Just crack on."
You're
was,
kidding?
No, he was like a different. Honestly,
I missed a call from him the other night, and he left me a long voicemail. I got to call him back, but honestly, I'm shocked.
He was to the point of, and this is not an exaggeration. We get into Eric's car at the end of the day, and we were crawling with ticks.
Oh God!
And you'd be driving along, and I'd look over at Eric, and I'd just pick a tick off him. Off his neck and throw it out the window, and Rob would lean over to me and go, "Oh, you've got one there," and just throw it out the window. Honestly, really? They were everywhere.
Yeah, that's 1,000% the time of year in which you went.
I've been to areas with ticks and picked the odd tick off. I think I picked 12 ticks off me.
Now, ones that were actually like feeding on you or just
ones that were just either crawling or embedded.
Oh,
and I got two that were really embedded under my armpit, which Rob kindly got out by pinching it with two credit cards.
Oh, nice.
Love that. Adapt and overcome in the field. Yep. Managed to get that out. Unfortunately, I got back to the UK and 3 days later, I thought I had COVID. So my temperature went through the roof. I was just absolutely bollocksed. I couldn't get out of bed. All my joints ached.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's just horrible, horrible. And I thought, oh, I picked up COVID at the airport. It kind of subsided. My temperature went back down to normal. So I thought, oh, COVID, it's gone. That's fine. So I went to France to climb and to look for ass vipers. And it was super hot in France. It was like 35 degrees.
Jeez.
It was too dry. Saw loads of lizards, loads of green lizards and loads of wall lizards. No ass vipers. Did see a nice black woodpecker, which is always cool.
That's cool.
But felt a bit rubbish again, but I just thought it's 35 degrees.
Right.
You're climbing, you're bound to feel a bit tired. And
right, blah, blah. Right.
So I drove back from France, went to work for a few days. Then I went climbing indoors and I thought, oh, I'm going to pass out. I feel absolutely shit. Drove home, temperature back to 38 point whatever, shivering, shaking, joint aches, feeling like hammered shit. I thought, no, this is not COVID. Went to the doctors. Now, when I was at Eric's and we were digging the ticks out, they come up in a rash. And I fortunately took photos of the rash and whatever. I showed the doctor and explained this to him. He went, you've got Lyme's disease. So, yeah, I'm currently taking big boy medication for Lyme's disease. Touch wood, I'm starting to feel okay now. But it absolutely pulled my pants down. It was horrible. So, I'm sticking to desert herping from now on.
I'm kind of with you, man. I'm kind of with you.
It was not for me. Although annoyingly, Owen then went back this weekend and found 7 hellbenders, I think.
Wow.
So I will put up with ticks to go and see hellbenders, but that'll be it. There's no more species of rattlesnake I need in those tick infested areas. So I won't be returning. But
jeez. Well, I'm glad you got antibiotics. I'm glad you're on the up and up.
Yeah.
Those ticks are atrocious, man. They really are.
Yeah. Yeah. But there we are. So that's my travels and my illness. So that's kind of the reasons we haven't been around for very long.
Yeah. It's been a hellacious 2 months, but also an amazing 2 months.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Not too shabby.
Other news. I'm loving your new backgrounds that you've done and your new Vivs.
Thank you very much. It's a work in progress.
The cloud one. Love the substrate in there. Love the attention to detail. That's very, very cool.
Thank you. I need to find a good place by my house that has pine needles.
Yes.
I can't, like, the places that have pine needles, I either will look like a lunatic collecting them, or I don't trust that they're not contaminated with some kind of road toxins, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, that I get concerned about that on, like, the side of the road and shit.
Yeah.
But I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun with playing with different types of dirt and sand and whatnot.
Yeah. So. The Nephiris one as well. Beautiful. That's crack with the picture on the background. Looks the nut.
And that's going to be my MO, man. That, you know, Dr. Julinder took that picture of the Pilbara. And then I've got a picture that you gave me from the Negev that I'll be using for the Pseudocerastes fieldy. And then I've got a picture that I took with Rob in Sanderson, West Texas, that's going to be for Subocularis. I'm going to pick your brain. I need a couple more Egyptian photos for some of the, for the cat-eyed snakes. And it's a work in progress, man. Just keep on trucking.
Beautiful. I've moved a load of stuff outdoors, which is kind of the direction I'm going in, I think. So I've redone my spadefoot toad outdoor viv, which is nice. Refurbished nice. There. I've completely redone my tiger salamander viv.
Cool.
It was really nice because it's been hot over here, unseasonably hot. They're in a 6 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot viv.
How many salamanders are in there?
Four.
Okay. All right. It's a big viv.
Well, they're big salamanders.
They're not that big.
Okay. So, but I've completely redone that, and I put them in a 5 foot one now.
Okay. And forgive me for interrupting, but when you say spade foot, you're talking about European spade foot.
Sorry, European, the proper spade foot, not your American spade foot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. Okay. European spade foots, because I'm not sure American spade foots could overwinter here. Whereas the European ones,
they could, yeah.
No, the European ones have no problem with it.
Right.
But I dug the salamanders up, and I hadn't seen them for so long. They've got massive. Nice. They must just grow on air.
You know?
So I put those in. They've got 6 inches of soil, load of rotten logs, loads of isopods in there, and I put two box full of worms in there just to keep churning the soil and all that.
That's great.
That'd be cool. I've redone the oscillated lizard viv outside, which is nice. Yes. And I put my Spanish rib newts, the largest species of newt in the world. I put my Spanish rib newts outside in a small, like little, I don't know what you call it, mini pond.
Okay.
Which is cool, an old chemical tank type thing.
Yeah.
And I've also put my European pond turtles outside.
Excellent.
It's really, yeah, really enjoying it. So that was really good. So
that's great, man, that you get to be able to do that outdoor stuff. I'm too neurotic with escapes and having other animals on my animals in to have outdoor enclosures. I know lots of people in Florida do it, but it's not for me.
That is one of the reasons I've redone all my vivs. Is I had a large female Timon lepidus in a viv, and I think it was a fox ripped the side out of the viv. Fortunately, at night she was under a big log in there, and I've come out. Well, Addison came out and went, "Oh my god, the side of the viv is missing."
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, she's escaped. And I flipped the log and she was asleep in the dirt underneath. So I just grabbed her. She's currently in a viv in my snake building. So that is the reason I refurbished all my cages. I've put fox-proof wire around them.
Excellent. Excellent.
So that won't happen again.
So my mother had a above-ground pond in our yard for some time, and she had three sliders in there, one yellow belly and two red ears. The yellow belly I feel collected, and the red ears were given from people who found them in their yard or whatever. But one of the red ears was decapitated. And the only way that we knew that it was raccoons, because there were raccoon paw prints in blood leaving the pond. We don't know if the raccoon got bit by a turtle or if it was touching its face. You know how they clean their face as they're eating? If it had killed the turtle, ate the head or whatever, and then had blood in his paws, but there are little raccoon paw prints leaving the scene of the crime.
Cute and disturbing at the same time.
Cute and disturbing at the same time. Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's very cool. What else other news? Oh, yes. Myself and the adorable Dr. Justin Julander finally have our book coming out.
Excellent. I've been bogarting this to myself for so long.
Yes, I'm very pleased. Justin sent over to me the final proofs. It's been proofread, all the layouts done. I've basically seen the chap that did the photo layout has been amazing. It's so photo rich, this book. It's lovely. It's the actual layout of it is way better than I thought it would be. They've done a cracking job. So yeah, very excited about that. So that should be printed and on the shelves hopefully fairly soon. So if you are thinking of herping in Utah, do buy yourself a copy.
or just if you're interested in the herps of the Utah area, which has got some cracking species, a ton of rattlesnakes, and the only thing it hasn't got a lot of is amphibians.
So, so what's the official title of said book?
The Field Guide to the Reptiles and Amphibians of Utah.
You heard it first here, kids.
Yes. So I think it's Eco Publishing, so I think it will be any of the venues that you normally get your Eco Publishing books from.
Excellent.
But, yeah, very, very excited. Very, very pleased to have it completed.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations, sir. I can't Thank wait to purchase my copy. And then
Get a free copy, mate. You don't have to buy one.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm still going to buy one. Still going to support.
Yeah, it's lovely. So,
and then now you'll be free up for us to write the Telescopus book.
Oh, 100%. I'm interested in that very much. The genus Telescopus, especially after your new purchase today.
Oh, yeah, right. My little early birthday gift to myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's very cool.
As soon as I press stop on the record button, I'm going to take it out and show it to you live in the flesh.
Ah, very good. Very good. Yeah. I think that's everything from me, really.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear it, man. You've been a busy bee.
Oh, it's been long. I've got one more trip, two more trips this year. So I'm really looking forward to the next trip because there's absolutely no pressure for me whatsoever.
Good.
But I'm going to do a trip with some chums of mine, all seasoned herpers. We're off to the northern mountains in Spain.
Nice.
Literally the very top end of Spain. The coastal mountains that run across from there, from Santander. And then we're looking at trying to get the three species of Spanish viper in one trip, which
would be
really nice, which is Vipera suwanii, Vipera aspis, and Vipera latastii. And then if we're successful early on in the trip, we're going to drive into Portugal and then try and find the gold-striped salamander, which has got the different legs from the nominate gold-striped salamander, which is probably going to become a separate species, I would think, at some point.
Nice.
So that's the plan. So I'm looking forward to that trip. And then I want to get some winter sun in the Canary Islands again. So I'll probably do a trip to Tenerife.
Have you found the cow king in the Canaries?
No, but where I'm going is one of the hot spots for it.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I've seen the lizards there before, but I haven't. It was years ago. I haven't got decent pictures, so I'd like to get some newer pictures. Alison went earlier on in the year, and even with her iPhone, she got great pictures.
Nice.
They're very confiding. They're so used to tourists and stuff like that. So
great.
That'll be my trips for the rest of the year.
Excellent. The only thing I've got left is National Reptile Breeders Expo in Daytona in August, and then I got nothing until after the new year. So
yeah, so 2026 for me. I don't need to go to Europe. There are a few things in Europe I'd like to see, just for completeness and subspecies and stuff like that. But America beckons.
Yeah, I'll convince you to go to Africa.
Or you can convince me to go. Well, funnily enough, I was just chatting. My local airport, which is, without exaggeration, 10 minutes from my house, is now doing economy flights to Marrakesh.
You're kidding.
Nope.
So how much is a flight to Marrakesh?
To memory, I think about £140.
That's the economy flight?
Yeah.
Glorious.
Exactly.
Glorious.
Literally pop out there for the weekend.
So that's it. That's the plan. Is I fly to you, we spend a day or two with you, and I couch it with you and Allie and the bed bugs. And then he does not have bed bugs. It's an inside joke. And then we go to Marrakesh for a few days and hit the Atlas.
That sounds can you imagine if you appear in Monte Carlo that was, which is the test, but yeah.
It'll always be Monte Carlo.
It'll always be Monte Carlo.
It'll always be Monte Carlo to me.
Which, talking of which, now I've seen timbers in the flesh, I now understand the canebrake thing.
Yes. Because
completely
everything different. Everything.
Yeah, I completely get it now. I need to see a canebrake in the flesh now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 1000%.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it.
Well, lovely, lovely to speak to you.
Always a pleasure. I miss you dearly.
Oh, I know you're super busy.
I'm very sad that I could not see you in the flesh, but I'm glad you had a great trip. I'm glad that we were in the same time zone twice in one year.
I know. It was lovely to talk to you. When you said Europe, it was like really normal because you were
in the same normal.
Time. Yeah. That was cool.
It's good.
And yeah, no doubt we will bump into each other.